The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held October 21 and 22, 2021, at Waits Lake Open Bible Camp near Valley, Washington.
Okay. Welcome to this workshop. What do you think teacher tending means? I hope I have not interpreted it incorrectly. Teacher care would be another word, I believe. Ministering to your teachers, encouraging your teachers. So I think this is particularly applicable for those who influence teachers, whether that is from a co-teacher, maybe a head teacher perspective, maybe an administrator, principal, board, ministry, etc. So that's our focus in this workshop. Little saying I have at the beginning, and I said this quote in a workshop, so I'm sorry for those who maybe heard this already. But maybe one of the biggest reasons is because of the truth in the first little quote that I have here. The best thing about teaching is that it matters. The hardest thing is that it matters every day. Did you ever have a job, if you did not teach school, that it mattered every day? Well, of course, every job matters every day. But at a particular, I think, level, it matters every day. So the best thing of teaching is that teachers feel like they're doing something important. Although teachers, let's get it in our heads that we are not holier than anybody else. We are not more serving God than anybody else. We are not more sacrificial. We do not need a martyr spirit because, poor teacher, we're the only ones that are willing to teach. And we can feel that way, and there's consequences to that way of thinking, of course. But teachers often find a fulfilling in that it does matter every day. They feel like they are making a difference, and indeed they are making a difference in their community. But that is not to pit that against people who are making a difference in their community in other ways other than teaching. I think sometimes we do that in a way that's not really healthy. But back to this. It matters every day, but that's the hard part, is that it matters. And we can never take a break from putting our best forward every day. So no matter what happened to your teachers that you're caring for, or to you as a teacher, the evening before, no matter how little sleep you got, no matter how disappointing the news of whatever it is, or how personal it is, or how you felt in the morning when you step into the classroom, or when they step into the classroom at 8:30 or whenever you start, that's the hardest thing. You need to be the same, pretty much the same person every day. Other jobs, some of them allow a little more flex, don't they? You just can be okay not being quite as upbeat, or quite as disciplined, or quite as alert, or quite as all those things. But a teacher, ideally, needs to be the same person day after day after day. And that the students don't walk in the room and say, what's going on? He's not happy today. He's just, man, hardly said good morning to us. I wonder what's going on. Wow. Or, he seems really happy today. Wow. You know? I'm sure students see a difference in their teachers because we're not perfect. But the goal is that we're predictable and that we're the same person in terms of how we handle things and what we invest in the room day after day. And that's one of the reasons why teacher tending, because sometimes the input and the care that surrounds them makes that more possible. So why teacher tending? What are some of the specifics that I think call for teacher tending? And I'm going to say this at the beginning, because this is just a broad truth that I think you'll see kind of just surfacing in different ways. And that's simply this. If you are called to be one of the teacher tenders, somebody who helps, you must be an accessible type of person. Who isn't busy? Have you ever found somebody to be on your school board or principal who says, actually, I got large blocks of time where I can just do this. I'm not busy. In fact, we sort of pride ourselves in saying we're busy, right? Oh, busy. I'm not sure why, what merit we think is in being so busy, if we think that's, you know, looks good to people. But if we communicate that to our teachers, we're busy. Drive in, pull in, shut the door, jump in. Hey, how's school today? You know, and yeah, hope, yeah, everything okay? Any questions, you know? They're going to respect that you are busy indeed. Be accessible. I have a friend who owns the local store, hardware store. He's, I believe, a minister now, conservative church, certainly involved in school. He owns two hardware stores that are both decent size. And I know him personally, and I chat once in a while, but I love going into his store and watching him. I'm sure that when he's sitting in his office and he's heading to wherever he's heading, he would like to be there in 30 seconds or less. He's a busy man. He's a family, middle-aged man, lots of demands. But I see him saunter. You know what that word means? Walk just from place to place. And I talked to him about that already. Said, wow, you're just accessible. So if he sees me, he's like, hey, Anthony, how you doing? Good to see you. He was already inviting me in his office to sit down and chat. It might have been something specific. I don't remember. But I notice him interacting with the customers. He just walks through and, hey, can I help you with anything? He'll ask people. He's got people to hire to do that. No. Him. He is communicating to his workers. He is modeling, I'm accessible. Not imagine when he jumps in his car, he switches gears. He goes where he wants to go. When he's in his office, he's working fast. But he knows how to then almost take on a whole different persona. And he walks out, he saunters through the aisles and asks people how they're doing and can I help you? And we must learn that. We must learn that as parents. All levels of leadership. We must learn that. We're busy. Our children know we're busy. But do we know how to just be accessible? Do you know how to drop in at school and just sit down and talk? Oh, when there's no problem. Or if you're in administration, I found that to be such a challenge. I had the privilege of teaching a large school for quite a few years where there was often 10 to 12, 13 teachers. And after school, many, many days, we would sit in the faculty room, not every day, but often we'd sit in the faculty room, and there might have been snacks, there might have been whatever, and teachers are busy. But it was a challenge for me to at least try some days to not take anything and just sit there and listen. Listen to the chatter. Be accessible. That provides opportunity to talk. Oh, can you do that every day for an hour? Of course not. But to come in with just that accessible spirit so that this isn't just about what you do and you talk about. It's also what they are willing to talk about because they see that you have time to talk. You have time to just chat about even things that aren't so great and serious. If all we're doing is taking care of problems in our teacher tending, we're missing a tremendous opportunity. Why teacher tending? Letter A, teachers' insecurities. Do you realize, parents, boards, how insecure most teachers really are with their job? How much awareness they have that they are not teaching their own children? How much they wonder if they're doing okay or not. Teachers are often very insecure. A teacher one time said, she told me, we were just talking about teachers, et cetera, and she said, I wish parents would know that we're as scared of them as they are of us. Oh, yes. And she was in her maybe fifth, sixth year of teaching. But she was like, you know, parents just ought to realize that we're insecure. We're not always sure if we're doing okay. Well, that's one reason for teacher tending, is because probably the longer they teach, that insecurity often stays there and maybe even grows because they've had some hard knocks. They've heard some tough stuff. They've been criticized multiple times. They find out what they're not doing right, or at least are very suspicious of some, you know, people that don't quite appreciate some things they do or how they do it. Teacher insecurities, something that teachers really do struggle with, that I think those who never taught school often miss that or don't understand that. Teacher's inexperience, point B. Someone has said every teacher should first of all have been a parent. And every parent should first of all have been a teacher. It doesn't work that way. How many of you were a teacher before you were a parent? Wow. You should be humbled at the trust those parents put in you, right? That they trusted you. Maybe 19, 20, 21. To influence our children. They're inexperienced. Virtually every difficult situation they run into is brand new for those first weeks and months. I don't know. I never had this happen. I mean, yeah, my little brothers and sisters, but whoa, this is a lot different. I'm in public. People are seeing how I'm handling this. The pressures of how to handle things without a lot of warning. There's a lot of inexperience, and they need a lot of guidance and surrounding them with help. Not because we're distrustful, but because that's what they need and they want, usually. Teacher inexperience. Letter C, teachers' emotions. And this does tie back to the very first point about the best thing about teaching. You know, teachers have gone home from school. Maybe they're in the youth group and something's not working out. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's problems at home. Maybe it's sickness in the family or their own personal health journey that adds a lot of emotional weight. So teachers need to compartmentalize. And when I step into school, here's who I need to be. And I think it's another way that teachers or administration, co-teachers, can step in and support the teachers through those tough things. We'll look at some of those things, of course, later. But just to appreciate, when you sit in the classroom, they have a life outside of school that they're supposed to be able to just kind of compartmentalize and forget about. And to acknowledge that at times in a careful, appropriate way. Again, some of that we'll look at later, that this has taken a lot of emotional stability and stamina to be able to step into the classroom and still survive in spite of what they're facing in pressures that are outside of their control. Also, why teacher tending? Well, the teacher's workload. I don't know what to say about this one because it is not the job of teachers to complain and gripe about their workload. And teachers sometimes need to be helped to manage their workload. And I'm just going to talk about this, kind of weave this into this section right away. But there is a minimum that teachers must do. And sometimes I believe we expect a little much out of these multi-grade teachers, especially when there's difficult, whether it's behavioral or academic difficulties. See, a teacher feels responsible to help every student, to help every student succeed. And sometimes these teachers are hearing from the board, well, just give it your best. We understand. You can't do everything. Just give it your best. It's okay. What does that mean? What does okay mean? What does give it your best mean? And so while they are trying to just get done all the papers and all the classes, they're also trying to help a difficult situation. Maybe it's behavior, maybe it's academic. And they feel like a failure if they can't help with that. But we tend to just kind of walk away and say, well, hey, I mean, it's okay. You know, it's been this way for a while. I mean, hey, you know, lower your expectations, in other words. This is a huge drain on teachers. And I think it happens over and over again, where teachers feel the demands on them are heavy. They're not sure then what the demands are because they're trying to keep the board, the administration, the parents all happy. And then they hear that, well, it's okay, just give, let, you know, do what you can type of thing. Just give it your best. Well, what does that mean? And they're bogged down. And unfortunately, what can happen, and I have no idea what school settings you're in, so I'm certainly not pointing out anybody anything. But what is happening in some of our schools is that word gets out, and I'm not saying this to manipulate, I'm just saying because it's factually true. That word gets out. That is a school where you are really worked hard, and there's not much teacher tending happen. Everybody's too busy, and you're stuck. And then you want to find a teacher the next year, and people know that this is a tough job. There's not a lot of care in this school. There's not a lot of support. My daughter was called to teach school here a few months ago. And I knew the bishop who called. He was sort of helping out in this situation, in this difficult school. And I knew the situation just a little bit. My daughter was too young. She's only 18. And to go live in another community and take the pressures of teaching was nothing that she or us as parents felt she should do. But then he just said, he said, I don't blame you. He said, we're just having a terrible problem. Everybody knows this is a tough school to teach in. And he said, I mean, we're just going through name after name after name after name. And everybody said, teach there? Not my daughter. No. That? Under that pressure? With those parents? That was a little more problem with the moms in the school, unfortunately. And it was true. We just can't find a teacher. I'm not saying that again. I have no idea what you're facing. And I know schools sometimes can't find teachers because there's no teacher that they can, and it's not because of that, a bad reputation. I just want to encourage you to think about that. Either your tending is building a school culture where teachers felt cared for and appreciated within reason, or else they feel like, you know, this is your job. My brother taught school years ago, and had a number of really difficult situations in his classroom. And he talked about a board member substituting. And of course, seeing what school is like. And the challenges that went along with it. And the board member told him as he left, just kind of like, well, back to you. I'm glad. What a difference if he had sat down and said, wow, I had no idea you're facing what you are every day. I had visited his classroom as big brother, and I saw the show. And I sort of enjoyed it from the back of the room, but he did not, as he tried to navigate the behaviors going on in his classroom with a visitor in the back of the room. Of course, it was just his big brother, but still, you know, pressure when somebody's visiting. And he's teaching, and this guy's emptying his desk. And, I mean, it's great. Yes, he needed to empty his desk, indeed. But not then. But he literally emptied his desk. And so he's there teaching and trying to, you know, teach. And he's watching, and then he's looking at me. I'm smiling, you know, it's okay. obviously he should have shut it down because it was quite a disturbance. And he should have said, hey, appreciate you wanting to clean your desk out. It needs to be done, but now's not a time. Put it all back in and keep moving. That's not what we're supposed to be talking about, I realize. But back to the principal, or the school board member. Had he sat down and said, what can I do for you? Thank you for hanging in there. You got some really tough cases. There were some dysfunctional homes. I knew this situation well enough. Very dysfunctional homes. Two or three students that caused just a lot of emotional weight. Just to care and be accessible would have meant so much to him. Rather than, whew, I got to go back to my job or whatever he said and just kind of, wow, I'm glad you're back, in other words. He could have said, you know, this wasn't my cup of tea. Wow, I realized that I couldn't handle this, but what can I do to help you? And just talk. You know, sometimes teachers aren't looking for a final solution. We're just looking for a way forward. And we'll look at some of that later. But to me, it just stood out as such an example where that school board member was missing the opportunity to support him and surround him with some care, even though there was no, you know, fixable final answers than maybe he could have given. All right, so what are some of the opportunities that I think we have? And I know this depends on what, if you're an administrator inside the school or a head teacher or just influencing, blessing other teachers, you don't necessarily have the opportunity to do all of these things. So it is. Visit the classroom. Of course, teachers dread when you're sitting in the back of the classroom. They are under pressure, but they still want you to do it. Most teachers still want the school board's visit. I heard a teacher say one time, she said, "I don't even know who's on my school board." What? "I don't even know who's on my school board." And I have heard that more than once, especially in a big school. They just don't come in. There are schools that is the case. The school board does their thing once a month, and they really do not know what is happening at school. And the teachers don't even know who is their school board. The board is basically paying them, I suppose, and hiring, and I don't know, just handling logistics that need to be handled from a school board perspective. If you're on the school board and your teachers don't know you're in the school board, I hope you change that soon. Now, maybe you're still in the first few weeks and it's somebody from out of the area and they don't know you. Okay. But I hope by the end of the school year, they certainly know who you are because you've invested in them. Just visiting the classroom. It can be for 15 minutes, 10 minutes, but at least you're in the classroom. Showing some interest. How many of you have, in your school, you fill in some kind of evaluation form when you're in their classroom? Really? Nobody. You don't have an evaluation form that the school provides that you fill in. Okay, well, that's okay. Maybe that's actually good, because what tends to happen is we just say, good, 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 good. And that's always a joke at our school that, you know what it's going to look like. Of course you look at it to see what he says. Okay, yes, like always. Thank you so much for what you do. We appreciate it. And here's five things, like teacher, clarity, classroom behavior, neatness. It's always just good, 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 or excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, I know teachers don't want you to say bad, 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 bad. I mean, that would be confusing too, but be honest. Maybe here's something that could have some, here you could improve. I've heard teachers say that over and over. We just wish the school board would take enough of time to sit in and observe. Yes, they feel unqualified, right? Especially if they never taught. They feel like, well, we don't know. But care anyhow. Sit there and look and observe and say, okay, I noticed this, I just had a little question about this. Of course, you can couch in a lot of appreciation, but be honest. Here's something. The teachers are there. Our school board cares. They care about what's happening in our room. They're observant. They saw something that I could improve in. And go ahead and share that rather than just, hey, it's all good. This is maybe even more so true of principals and administration, head teachers who are mentors for other teachers. That you're honest and you help. Even if they're an experienced teacher, a teacher I taught with her for years, she said one time, I wish somebody would come in my room and watch and evaluate and give me some criticism. Help me to improve. Yeah, this kind of struck me. There she was teaching for years, very capable teacher, but saying, I know I have weaknesses. Teacher tending is not just about scratching their back and bringing them donuts. It's also about helping them to grow and develop as a teacher and become a better teacher. Most teachers want that. And if it's done graciously, they can receive that. Secondly, another is just suggestion, and I know this really varies from schools, provide training and inspirational days. Well, depending where you live, this is more difficult. I'm sorry, there is no clock in here. I need to keep track of the time here. What are we at? Okay. If you live in a community where there's not opportunity to travel to reasonably close, this can be tough. But if you have opportunities to send your teachers to maybe a school to visit for a day, or to go for workshops over the summer, or these kind of events, other things that are held in the year or in the summer, to pay for that. I'm a little surprised sometimes where teachers need to pay their own training. If you have people working for you, do you make them pay for their own training? Or do you pay for them to get trained? Do you pay their time? Well, you can go to this for a week or weeks. And again, different church, I'm not going to mention organizations because different churches are comfortable with different groups. I realize that. So you got to work with what works in your group and your opportunities. But I've heard teachers many times talk about that. Well, I would love to go, but they don't pay for it. And it costs, you know, a few hundred dollars. And on teacher salary, does anybody know what that would mean? Teacher salary? Okay. So, they don't go. Again, we come back to, we do so much better in our businesses. We know what the skills they need. Businesses are willing to send them to seminars and training. They pay them to go. They pay what it costs to go. They pay their time. When it comes to school, well, if you think you'd like that, but, you know, our budget's pretty tight. Okay, your budgets are tight. Maybe you can't do it. But again, if it comes across as, well, you know, if you think you need that, I guess you can go. It's a way, a wonderful opportunity for you to bless and encourage your teachers if you can provide at least something. Letter C, empower the teachers to do their job. Now, I find this one hard to navigate. Where is the line in administration where you do the job and take over and where you empower the teacher to do their job? Because, see, principals and administration or school board sometimes have the ability to come in and shut things down, a problem down. I think about this a fair amount at Bible school. We have a Thursday night Bible school that runs where we have often around 100 children from town, and it needs a lot of administration. And where do those of us who are in administration, where do we walk into a classroom setting and get involved and help take care of this problem? And where do we just step in and support the teacher and encourage a teacher? Hey, just hang in there. I was in a situation very recently. This was an incredible amount of swearing and carrying on the floor, kicking the wall, kicking chairs. I mean, it was awful. Well, do we empower the teacher? Got everybody else out of the room, left them just, you know, this went on for, of course, a while. Or do we step in and say, hey, stop this, sit up, go. The teachers are off to the side. Or do we, hey, hang in there, you're doing a good job, give a nod, walk out. We're here to support you. If you need us, knock on the door, or we're close by. Well, in school, the same thing can happen, where we can strip the teacher of some of their authority by, oh, it's time to bring the big guns in. When really, the teacher needs you standing behind, giving ideas, helping them to think through how to handle it, because guess what? They're the ones that are going to be there the next day, and the next, and the next, and the next. And you probably don't want to be. And so to empower them to do their job, giving them suggestions, standing behind them, sometimes is the better option and an important part of teacher attending. So the challenge of not overstepping, understepping, it's quite a fight. It really is. And I'm honest with our teachers sometimes about that. I'd encourage you to be. Just sit down and say, what do you want me to do? I don't want to overstep and call the parents right away or talk to the child myself, because there is something about being in an office that's a little intimidating, and you can get a lot of mileage out of. Very few students aren't pretty humbled inside the principal's office. And so it can be kind of a way to just fix this problem. If that's what the teacher needs, they emotionally can't take it anymore, I'm willing to talk to them. But if you're okay with it, that's actually really good. I'll support you in that. Here's maybe a way to frame it. Maybe I can follow up later and catch a child in the hallway and say, your teacher talked to you today, right? Make sure you listen up, you know. So there's ways that we can get in behind and support, empower the teacher to do their job rather than almost stripping their authority away and we take over, because it's sort of fast and efficient. I think it's one of the important ways of also building confidence in the teacher then. Oh, the administration said, you can do this. Why don't you handle it? Go ahead and call the parent if it's a parent that is wise for the teacher to call. Other times, you know what, it might not go so well. Do you want me to call? Yes, please. Okay, well, that maybe is the wisest thing. It takes a lot of wisdom. But work with your teachers on that question. Ask the teachers, do you want me to be involved in this? Are you making out okay? Or should I step in rather than overstepping or understepping. I think if we're honest, they often will help you navigate that. Closely related is letter D, find a way forward in difficult situations. I think this has become my favorite way of saying it. Maybe it's just the buzzword, find a way forward, find a way forward, a way forward. Well, but to me, that's sort of what it is. We would like to fix problems, wouldn't we, as administration, ministers, boards? Let's come in, I'm busy, remember that? And let's figure out what's wrong. Let's hand down a solution for this problem, and then we can go back to work, and the teacher can go back to work. Over and over, it is simply finding a way forward for the next day or the next weeks. And sometimes teachers feel stuck. There's both extremes here. Teachers feel stuck with a situation. I think it is definitely one reason we have so many teachers quitting. Now, there's many good reasons. The girl gets married. He's ready to do something different. Okay. But sad indeed is when the teacher feels, I'm stuck with some problems that nobody helps figure out what to do. And after day, I've heard teachers say this. Well, I will not teach next year like this. I cannot. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. This is a difficult situation. The parents don't know what to do. The board doesn't know what to do. And since nobody knows what to do, it's my problem. I will not teach next year like this. Maybe that's one way to get attention from the administration that this really does matter. I'm going to have to quit. I don't think that's manipulating. There's teachers I've talked to that have said very much so that. And I'm sure you know of situations where sometimes it's finding a way forward because there is no solution that we know will work. We don't know what to do. This is very difficult, but how about for tomorrow we try this? See, that's just a way forward. But sometimes we're not willing to do that because we don't know how this is going to really work out. And we can't find a solution. And so, we don't know. No, teachers must have an answer. They need an answer. They're coming back to school tomorrow. The child's coming back to school tomorrow. This was the prank played on the teacher that day. This is what happened at recess. This was the swearing that went on because a child, blew a fuse. We have to do something. All right, so for tomorrow, the child comes in. Here's what we're going to need to do. It's an awkward situation, or the parents, or whatever. And whatever that solution is. When the child comes to school, I'll flag the child before he even gets to the classroom and tell him to go right to the office. Maybe you work with the parents. It's laid out what you need to do. I'll get the child in the office, and then when the bell rings for everybody to go out and play, why don't you and I both show up and talk to him? We're going to discuss what happened and figure out how to handle the day, because obviously this is creating a crisis. Do something. Find a way forward. Academically, this happens over and over again. A child's faltering, they're failing, we don't know what to do. Find a way forward. It's not a fix. It's not a solution. This problem's not going away anytime soon. Maybe never going away. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to adjust this assignment. We're going to cut out this subject. And they're just going to audit the class. By the way, don't strip the child of all the joys of school by taking away all the sciences and all the histories. And that's what we do sometimes. A parent recently said at a seminar, it was open discussion, and she said, that's exactly what happened to my child. My child is struggling in school, and the board decided to take away the science, and my child just burst into class and said, Mom, that's my favorite class. So sometimes children need to help find a way forward. What's best for them? Not just what's best for us, or looks always right to us, but find a way forward. How are we going to handle this? And then follow through. Letter E, follow up on previous discussions and issues. This is powerful. It shows you are accessible. So the next day, at the end of the day, make that phone call. Or if you're at school, drop in. How's this working out? Or even small things. You shared this frustration, this problem. I gave a little bit of help or encouragement. How's it working out? See, that shows that you're opening the door to the discussion. If it's always the teacher that needs to open the door, no, it's your job to open the door and to follow through with those conversations. And you'll learn so much more than if you wait till the teacher has to call you, because it's bad enough. Now, if you can make the move to open the door of following through with those issues, I think that can mean an awful lot. Any questions on some of those, empowering the teacher, etc.? I want you to feel free with a question or comment or something I didn't think about from a different angle. Please.
You mentioned provide training, inspirational days in your teacher. What
yeah.
do you find inspirational? What is that? What have you found to be practically speaking?
Like? Yeah, that's a really good question. Anybody? I'll come back to that and try to answer it myself. But what do you find, teachers? Or what do you find your teachers say, ah, that was an inspiration. That just added some fuel to my teaching. I'm sure something. I mean, we need it. Yes. Okay, good. Staff meetings. Yes. It doesn't have to be these big, great things. Sometimes they are big things. Sometimes they are days off. A good book to read. There's books back there that teachers would love to have, but they're expensive. I think he referred to that already. Find a good book that they would enjoy reading and give them a book. Or audio. Sometimes there's audios from teacher inspirations. A day off to visit other schools, I think, can be inspiring. 5 minutes, okay. I've heard of schools who do things as a faculty. Now, again, if there's one man, one lady, that can be tough unless a whole family goes with them. But I think that's wonderful if administration or schools boards say, this is maybe knock a half a day off from school, or maybe once in a great while, once a year, it's a whole day off from school. If you can't go visit other schools, maybe visit something educational, a museum, something that they can then bring back into their teaching. I love when schools do that. Organize an inspirational day for their teachers where they pay for the food, take them to a little restaurant. Schools bringing their teachers here. That's something I was involved in CMTI here recently. I was so blessed with what I saw. There was 1,000 people at the one and was it 800 at the other one. And if you look at the list, there was principal or pastor, board member, teacher. I bet 1/3 of the people. And different ones when I talked to them, especially those who drove farther away. So, did you come with the teacher? Yeah, we loaded them all up. We just make a big day out of it. We take them to a nice restaurant. We get them a nice motel because it's a long drive. And then we're all here together. You know, then on the way home, we can discuss. Wow. Those are the teachers that'll be teaching the next year. Not always, but it's showing the board. And some of you are doing that here. I've talked to you and talked to others. I said, yeah, we just take the time. Yeah, it's not always applicable to what we're doing or what we need, but just you're showing the teachers that you care enough and you're investing in them. And you sit there and you hear what they heard, and then you can discuss it. And it gives you windows into teaching that maybe you didn't have before. There are obviously actual training opportunities here and there through workshops throughout the summer. Christian Light put some of those on. Ebenezer Faith Builders. There's lots of options there that different organizations put. So New Media has Teachers Institute, I think it's called. It's, well, 2 weeks there, I believe. So, yes, those as well. Does that somewhat answer your question? That's just a few quick things. And last of all, voice appreciation. Now, we talked about some of this already, but voicing appreciation. But I would like to give a caution for the men in working with the lady teachers. Be careful. You know, sometimes those lady teachers, if we're not careful, we can create an unhealthy emotional tie with the lady teachers as men. And that's especially true of principals who are in the school all the time, but I think it can go outside of that. Especially single teachers who are a little older, may not feel inappropriate. It may not be inappropriate in any way as far as looks or discussion, but still it can be a trap that we just need to be really, really careful with. So in your appreciation, you know, to drop a note on the desk, maybe it's better if your wife does that. Thanks for all you do in our school. But or maybe both signatures. Or I see you're struggling, you have a lot going on outside of school, just want you to know I'm here to support you. Just be careful. Be careful. If you do talk to a teacher about a need, keep the door open. Keep it always very visible. I'd suggest never going to a sister's classroom at the end of the day and close the door because you want to talk about some things. It's just not comfortable. Keep plenty of space between you and the teacher, leaving the door open. Better yet, do it in a faculty open space, like a faculty room if no one else is around. But even if it's in a classroom, sit back a couple desks. Or make sure there's plenty of space. Hey, do you have a little bit of time to talk? Maybe it's a concern. Maybe it's working through a problem. Make sure that door is open, though. So voice and appreciation is important just to show in small ways, thanks for what you're doing, but watch that it doesn't create a trap that maybe to you doesn't feel like it is, but to the lady teacher, it may be that. Just want to give that as a caution. Any other questions or comments or clarity? Okay, I'm going to excuse you. Thank you for your attention, and may God bless you as you bless the teachers that you work with.